to establish you. The word establish is another interesting word. It means to turn resolutely in a certain direction, not in an uncertain direction, but in a certain direction. It means to turn resolutely. That means this is a determination, of course. It is something that is not departable from. And it takes supernatural power to get you to turn in that direction. If you're born again, you have that supernatural power in you to keep turning in his direction. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. This gospel is the fifth gospel. We know the gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They give us the front view through human eyes, and we understand naturally what happened to Jesus through the gospels. We saw his death, burial, and resurrection. We saw him going to the cross, being tried in a kangaroo court, having all false, you know, all those false accusations against Donald Trump. He is in good company because Jesus had a lot of false accusations against him too. But what happened? He stood strong. And you know what? When Jesus died, he was resurrected. I think that same is going to happen with those like Donald Trump. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Paul's gospel shows us what happened in Christ. He shows us what happened in the supernatural realm, in the spirit realm. He shows us what happened in Christ that raised him from the dead. And he shows us how it destroyed the demonic realm, put a hole in their operation that just wrenched the keys out of their hands. The keys of hell and death, they dictated. And Jesus said, I'll take those keys. Didn't he? Paul's gospel showed us what happened in the spirit realm. And from God's point of view, not from man's point of view, but from God, it's the completion of that. What happened from the cross to the throne? And the enormous, immense, explosive power that happened that Paul did his best to describe and still couldn't do it. It's just unimpeachable power. And according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. The revelation of the mystery. What was that mystery? That mystery was God's great plan of redemption that was kept secret since the world began. The angels didn't know it. Nobody in heaven, no man could. I've studied this thing for 30 years, the plan of redemption. It is the most ingenious, fail-proof, wonderful plan that could have ever been established. No man, no dying man, no mortal man could ever come up with this. It had to be God. It has the scent of God all over it. It has the scent of Jesus all over it. It has the scent of heaven all over it. You can, it is undeniable. This mystery or secret, it's the Greek word is mysterion. And it's where we get the word mystery from. But you know what? Wherever there's a mystery, there is an answer. Keep looking. You know? Because the reason there is a mystery is because the answers are there, but they're not discovered yet. It was all discovered in the resurrection of Jesus. Amen. It was kept secret since the world began. My gospel, Paul said, because this was Paul's. We have the gospel of Matthew, we have the gospel of Mark, we have the gospel of Luke, we have the gospel of John, and we have the gospel of Paul. And Paul's gospel shows us the devil is annihilated. We have been raised up together with Christ and seated with him far above all powers, principalities, mights, and dominions in every name that is named. Not only in this world, but in that which is to come. This world. We're empowered this world with resurrection power. It lives in you. If the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he shall quicken your mortal body. How about it? How about it, Kelly? How about those knees? Amen. How about that back? How about those joints? How about every part of your being? Because every cell of Jesus, when he was lying in that tomb, every cell, that resurrection power went into every cell. Got rid of that rigor mortis. Rigor mortis certainly is a problem, but that is not what he... No, every single cell and fiber of his being was charged with the resurrection power of God. And that power lives in you. Hooray! We're liable to explode here. But you know, you need to let that happen. You need to laugh. When something's wrong in your body, you need to say, you think something's wrong. And the devil will say, what are you laughing about? I'm laughing at you, devil. Because you think I'm not going to get, that's right, you're not going to get my healing. This is what Kenneth Hagin was. That's right, buddy, this time you're not going to get your healing. What are you laughing about? I'm laughing at you. Why are you laughing at me? Because you think I'm not going to get my healing. And he said, that's right, not this time. I'm going to bring you to the grave. Why are you laughing? I'm laughing at you because you think I'm not going to get my healing. That's right, you're not going to get it. He says, I know I'm not going to get it, devil. I already have it. I already have it. It's mine. And when you walk like that, what God has vested in that covenant will manifest in your life because you're walking like it's true, because it is true. And you're taking out of play everything else that isn't true, because this world is temporary. The conditions of your body are temporary. The conditions of this world are temporary, thank God. And when the fire hits it, it's gone. But we will live forever. Why? Because the resurrection power of Christ went in your spirit, into your soul, into your body. As a triune being just like God, you have been made whole by the resurrection power, by the kratos power of God, and the dunamis power of God, and the ischus power of God, all working together, made another power. You can't even describe it. Paul tried. He couldn't. It is so perfect and so good. Aren't you glad this word is God's life being imparted to you? The resurrection life, that Zoe nature of God, which is God, and everything that God is in that. You have received eternal life, Zoe. There was only one sin that stood between God and man. Do you know what that sin was? That was Adam's treason. The rest is just fallout. Settle that in your mind. My problems are just fallout from that. It all traced back. If you look at the fallout of humanity over the last 6,000 years, this century, I mean, last century was horrible, in Europe anyway, and in China. But centuries before that, centuries before Jesus came in the time of Noah, it was so dark, and it was so stinking, ugly, that the gene pool of humanity was so polluted and so infested with demonic activity that God had to reestablish the humankind. Do you know what vaccines are doing now to the gene pool of humanity? Look, this is the second time he's tried it. And the ark is a perfect representation or a type and shadow of the rapture. We've been redeemed. Oh, say that. I am redeemed. And I say so. I am the redeemed of the Lord. And I say so. Thank you. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Woo, glory to God. Now, if you have been vaccinated, Don't let this condemn you. There's no condemnation in Christ. Just pick up and go on. Just ask God to say, hey, rearrange me. If the resurrection power lives in you, he can change every cell, every little atom, every molecule, every little nucleus and electron and proton and neutron and all of that. He can do it. That's simple. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. We're going to go into, anyhow, turn there, and while I say this, there was only one sin that stood between God and man, that was Adam's treason. And if you look at the fallout of all of that, we can trace it right back. That had to be the most treasonous act ever committed, because all of the unborn human race yet in his loins was totally betrayed and given over to this law of sin and death and to the master of sin and death, Satan. But there was another act of righteousness by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same law that put us all under sin is the same law that he used to bring us life. He doesn't force it on you. You have to receive it by faith. But nevertheless, it's yours. And we're talking about now, that one act created a whole lot of fallout, a lot greater than all the fallout that the enemy had. Because what happened in Jesus undid everything that Satan did in Adam. That resurrection power was so explosive and so demonstrative, the most demonstrative power ever released in the history of the universe to cancel out everything Satan did in Adam. Everything. Annihilated it. You say, well, it sure doesn't look that way. The world doesn't have faith. You do. And you've been raised up together with Christ, seated at his right hand far above all those things. How did that happen? The resurrection power of God. Okay, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. He said, let us make man in our own image according to our likeness. Let them have what? Dominion over the fish of the sea. God gave man dominion. That never changed, even when man fell. The devil can't just do stuff. He had to have human cooperation. Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful. Multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. We are in God's image. That word image is like an etching, a stamp. It's an imprint in his image. It's a perfect representation of everything that God is. And in his likeness, it also implies an identicalness to God, that word image. The word likeness means life of the same life, light of the same light. All the attributes of God were in Adam with the same creative abilities, creative thinking. He had the same holiness of God, the same nature as God had. That nature was love in its purest form. Adam was taught by the Lord himself. He was taught the ways of God. Adam was exactly like God in every way except one. Adam had a beginning and God didn't. Adam was created. God was not. As such, Adam was to be the beginning of a God-breathed, God-designed, God-empowered, God-blessed, and God-filled reflection of who God was and the fulfillment of his perfect will in all of the offspring yet to come. God had a beautiful plan for humanity. And Adam was the first Lord, with a small L, the first Lord over all the earth, with preeminence and dominion over the land, sea, air, and all the life that filled it. It's all his. He was equipped with the knowledge and understanding of how to operate in the laws of life. He was blessed and empowered to prosper in every possible area of human existence. God walked with Adam. God spoke into his life. He fellowshipped with Adam, taught him, instructing him, and guiding him. And in fact, in Luke chapter 3, which gives you Jesus' lineage all the way back to Adam, it says that Adam was the Son of God in Luke 3:38. Adam was the Son of God. God loved him. God taught him. God spoke into him. God established him as the Lord of the earth. Light of light, life of life. Everything that was God was formed in Adam. Then we go to Genesis 3. In verse 8, we'll read through 15. It says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord." This is after they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God told them not to do. But the devil convinced them that they'll be like God if they do. They were already like God. See, the devil will tell you that you're missing something. He'll tell you that if you don't do this, you're going to miss out on something. And who are you to tell him you won't? See, he takes advantage of that. This is a system that God just worked into man that the devil took advantage of. So, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" Has the Lord ever said that to you? Where are you at? Where are you? Where are you, Adam? So he said, "Well, I heard their voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked." And he said, "Well, who told you you were naked? Who told you? Have you eaten of the tree that I commanded you should not eat?" And man said, "The woman." The blame game starts. You see, if you're stuck in sin, you're going to blame everything and everybody else. You'll never take responsibility for it. But if you do take responsibility for it, then you can be forgiven. Say, "Yes, I sinned. I did it. Or I didn't do it that I was supposed to do." Whatever it was, take responsibility for it. Go to God, get the blood, and get cleansed from it. You shouldn't go one more second of guilt. "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree?" And the man said, "The woman you gave me to be with me, she gave me the tree and I ate." Verse 13. "And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me and I ate it.' So the Lord said to the serpent, 'Because you've done this, you're cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go.'" This means that snakes, serpents, were not crawling creatures, creeping creatures when God created them. In fact, there's something in serpents right in their hip area that shows that they used to have legs. They used to stand up. They did this. They just walked. But he said, "Go on your belly. And dust shall you eat all the days of your life." This is a picture of Satan eating the dust. The dust, the body that was made from the dust of the earth. This is where sin, sickness, disease, and all of the physical pain and everything comes from, is from the devil. "On your belly, and dust shall you eat." All the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This verse 15 is the important verse, because this is God's pronouncement of judgment on the devil, and this is pronouncement of Messiah coming into the earth. It's a pronouncement, and it is an announcement. It's a pronunciation and an annunciation that Messiah would come. Oh, go shout it on the mountain. That Messiah came in the most beautiful little form, little package in Bethlehem that morning. Messiah came. Praise God. By the way, this is the only time, verse 15 in the Bible, that God used to call a seed of a woman. All the other lineages are a man. You ever notice that? The son of, the son of, the son of, the son of. This is the seed of the woman, meaning that God, and I believe that this is where Isaiah got this, revealed to him as he meditated on this. He received, a virgin shall bring forth a child, and his son will be called Emmanuel, God with him. I believe that's where he got it. But this is the only time where Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Isaiah 7:14, let's read it. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. This doesn't come from anywhere else. This comes from the Lord. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel has three different parts in the Hebrew. The im means equal with or equal in. Aman means aman, overshadow by huddling together or to hide in. And El means Almighty God. So Immanuel, in short, is God with us, clothed in human flesh. God put an earth suit on so he could get a job done, so there would be no more failure in the redemption department. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you'll bruise his heel. Immediately after that, God took animals, shed their blood to cover their sin, and as a symbol of that covering, he clothed them with the skins of the animals because they were naked. The glory of God had departed, and they were no longer clothed with that, but now they're clothed with the skins of animals whose blood was shed for them. And that clothing represented the covering that the blood gave them so that God could deal with them on the basis of covering. Praise God. You getting anything out of this? We're getting there. Let me go back here. Something here I want to share. Then, 2,000 years later, God approached Abraham, invited Abraham into covenant with him, gave him the sign of circumcision and everything, but he raised him up in order to raise up a race by which he could get Messiah into the world. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what Jacob's name was changed from Jacob to Israel. And so out of those 12 tribes, out of the tribe of Judah, came Jesus. Amen? Amen. Messiah entered into the earth. 400 years after Abraham, Moses came, and the law came and told us everything we couldn't do. You got to answer this. Why would God give a law that we couldn't possibly obey, let alone fulfill? Why would he do that? Because he never intended us to obey it or fulfill it, because he knew we couldn't. He gave it so that he could fulfill it for us. He showed us, the law shows us God's holiness and that we weren't. It shows us our unholiness and our need for a Savior, for Messiah that he declared back in the garden. What's he doing through the law? He's putting our eyes back on his saying at the very beginning that he'll come and he's going to bruise your head and you'll bruise his heel. Jesus bruised his head real bad. Now we see Jesus on the cross. We celebrated communion this morning. And in Galatians 3, chapter 3, verse 13, he said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of that law. You see, the law, when it says, if you do this, you'll be blessed. If you do this, you'll be cursed. The law doesn't say this will happen. What it revealed was the fact that God is holy and you're already under the curse. The law reveals the curse that man is under. Man was already under a curse. He didn't need to have a law to put him under a curse. He was already under the curse of this world that was cursed for the ground for your sake. Cursed is everything that you eat. Cursed, cursed, cursed. So that's what happened. But it is known as the curse of the law because the curse was revealed by the law. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Big verses. These are big verses. You redeemed from the curse. You know, that doesn't depend on your faith. What depends on you receive Jesus by faith, and it says that you're redeemed from the curse of the law, for cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Jesus Christ. If you have Jesus Christ, you're redeemed from the curse of the law. That's the granddaddy of all curses. Now in Micah chapter 3, it says, because you don't tithe, you're cursed with the curse. That's annihilated with this. Because if you're in Christ, there is no curse that can come on you, whether you tithe or not. In the New Testament, you get to tithe. It's an opportunity. The curse has been removed. But you see, and this is what allows you to be a cheerful giver. This is what, hey, take it. Take it. I know you take care of me. If your eyes on the sparrow, I know you care for me. Amen. I was singing that the other day. Here's what we've been delivered from. Look at Deuteronomy 28. And we'll start with verse 16. Cursed are you in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. This is community. This is your acquaintances. In your own field of relationships, it also includes yourself. You're delivered from that. What does that mean? That means you have good relationships and good acquaintances. This means you can have table fellowship with people. Verse 17 says, cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. This is your food. You've been delivered from cursed food, from the land that has been cursed of this world. You can receive it by faith. It is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Speak the word over your food. Speak the word. Say, my food is blessed. There's, at some point, food becomes life in your body. Amen? So we always declare, thank you for this food, Father. We declare that it is life, health, and strength to all our flesh. In Jesus' name. Amen? Why? Because the curse has been removed. I'm in Christ. Verse 18 says, cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land and the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. This is your children, your livestock, and your pets. This is Ramen. This is Hunter. This is your dog and cat. They're blessed. Blessed. Verse 19 says, cursed shall you be when you come in. Cursed shall you be when you go out. This is your commuting. Your commuting to and from work, your travel. At all times and in every direction. You're in Christ, you're delivered from that. Yes. You can commute knowing you'll be safe, protected, sound. You can go back and forth. Do whatever, you know, go wherever the Lord leads you, and you'll be blessed. Isn't this good? The Lord shall send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. This is removal from the land. This is exactly what happened to Israel when they were taken to Babylon and into Syria, Persia. For 70 years they were in captivity, which was a tithe on the 700 years they had been disobedient to God. And he sent prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet to tell them to repent. And they killed the prophets. Removal from the land. This is happening now in this country. Do you know that China and Russia right now are licking their chops? They're just waiting for the economy to float down and become nothing. They're waiting for the dollar to collapse, for the economy to be overturned. That's what they're waiting for. They've got a surprise because God's got a surprise for them. God doesn't reward the wicked. He rewards the righteous who stand for something, who stand for righteousness, the eternal word of God, and declare it in the face of the enemy. In your face. Removal from the land? No. We will be removed from the land, but it will be the rapture of the church. Amen? Bring it on. These are the promises of the New Testament, and they will not fail. God will not let one jot or tittle fall to the ground. That's in that New Testament. Look at verse 61. It says this. Also, every sickness and every plague, this is under the curse of the law, every sickness and every, which is not written in this book of the law, will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. This means that every sickness, every disease, every plague is under the curse of the law, and it is not God's will for anybody to be sick of anything at any time. Are you in Christ? Now, this you have to use your faith for because your body has not yet been redeemed. Your body, your spirit has been redeemed. That is total, wall-to-wall Holy Ghost inside of you. But your soul is not redeemed. You've got to renew your mind. And your body's not redeemed. This is why in Romans 12, 1, it says, present your body as a living. Once you get your spirit born again, now it's up to you to bring your body before the Lord and say this, it's a body, you're a living sacrifice. Call it what God calls it. Every time you refer to your body, call it, hey, sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to the Lord. So once you get your spirit born again, now you present your body to God as living and get your mind renewed with the truth. Get your mind renewed with the word of God. Get rid of the deception, the lies, the whatever it is. And listen, verse 68 says this. And the Lord will take you back to Egypt in ships by way. This is all the things that I mentioned are not going to happen to us because we're in Christ. We have been delivered from the curse of the law, redeemed from it, bought by it. That blood bought something, and that blood speaks louder than any curse, than anything that could ever be pronounced against His church. The Lord will take you back to Egypt in ships by the way which He said to you. You shall never see it again. And there you shall be offered for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but no one will buy you. This is what's happening in the United States right now. People are enslaved by sin, enslaved by socialistic thinking, which is total rebellion to God. It's the Babylonian way, and it has failed over and 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 again. But somehow they think it's going to work in here, and it won't, because it's designed to fail. We are designed to win. We are the bloodline of a champion. Oh, that was good. You have the blood. You are the bloodline of a champion. You are in Christ. You got to get that revelation. that you are the bloodline of a champion and you can walk in him and have your being in him and know that you are his and that he is yours, and that when you walk, the ground will rise to meet your feet. When you say something, he'll be there to make it come to pass. You have exactly what he says you have. That's the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in you. Yes, shout it on the mountain. Jesus Christ is born in me, and that resurrection power was born in me. That life of God was in me when I was born again, and it's still there, and it doesn't go away. Right, Dee? She's a survivor, she's a victor, and she refuses to be a victim. Praise God. So you're free from all the curse of the law. There's different categories of it. Fear and terror, poverty and lack, sickness, plagues and diseases, confusion, chaos, plunder, betrayal, isolation, and no recourse or resources. That's what the curse of the law brings you. But God brings you redemption. God brings you his redemption. He will show you his salvation, his might, his power. You need to understand this, that if you're not experiencing those things, maybe you're not walking out in the place where you should be. Maybe you're not putting yourself out there like the Apostle Paul did. He always put himself out there where the only recourse was God would do it. God would show up, and he always did until Paul said, "That's it, I'm done. Time to die. Time to go." Did you know that you have the power over life and death? Whether you can choose whether to die or not? You have that. That's given to you. Paul's just an ordinary guy who got born again. Had an apostle on him. He had the call of apostle. But you have the power to choose life or death. Live or go be with Jesus. The redemption package announced in the garden came true in the person of Jesus Christ. Read something to you real quick that I jotted down. From the very first moment of transgression in the garden, God was there with all parties involved, right there with Adam, Eve, the serpent, Satan, and he made declaration revealing his will to redeem mankind by pronouncing judgment on Satan and the arrival of the Messiah. Throughout the Bible, we read about the promises of God concerning the arrival of Messiah. That's why we cannot regulate the supernatural power of the gospel to one specific period or time. It wasn't found in time. It was found in a person who changes never. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His promises are still just as powerful. They never fail, fade, or change with time. Ever! Amen. They are still pregnant with God's potential.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it will not return void. We thank you that it is life to us, health to all our flesh. We thank you, Father, that it will reproduce everything that you sent it to do. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father. We thank you that we are little lights on a tree. And together, we are lights that will light up the world with hope and love, with power and joy, with peace and kindness and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness. Thank you, Lord. You have been so good to us. Oh, give him a shout. Give him a shout. Give him a shout. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you. You are dismissed.